Numbers chapter 36, verses 1 to 4. Zelophehad's daughters again. Part 1. Yes, we come back to Zelophehad's daughters. I said at the time when we spoke on the subject, when we looked at the subject before, when I spoke on it before, I said that we hadn't seen the last of it. It's only a small episode. Remember, Zelophehad has died. He had no sons. And you remember earlier in the book of Numbers, chapter 27, the daughters come to Moses and want it sorted out, and God is pleased with this. These people are thinking about things. My father has no sons, so what's going to happen to the inheritance? And God said this is quite right, and so it was all laid out that the inheritance should come to the daughters. This became a principle and a rule in Israel. Whenever this episode or this event occurred, whenever a man died without sons, his daughters would have the inheritance. But now the children of Manasseh, the children of Israel, are beginning to think, well now, these children, these daughters, you know, they got the land, but what if they marry? Yes, okay. What if they marry outside the tribe? If they go and marry outside the tribe, then the year of Jubilee, that land will move from Manasseh to whatever tribe the husband belongs to. And so it could be that gradually the land will all get muddled up. Bits and pieces of the land will move from one tribe to another. And in the end, we shan't know which is what and what is which. And God says he's pleased with this. There are people thinking about the future. And it's got to be dealt with. This is established as a principle in Israel. And the principle is, and the concern is stated, and the first point here is, what about this land? Well, the daughters can have the land, that's theirs, yes, but they must marry, if they do marry, within the tribe. That's the point this makes. Made here, that the children of Israel have raised this concern, and God is pleased with that concern and pleased that they're raising it, but he wants this to be settled so that it stays within the land. And so this is a principle that's laid out that in Israel for the people of Israel. Now, the answer to it is not cross your fingers. Well, there's a problem here, but it's not our problem. We won't think about it. We cross our fingers and leave it to God. No, these people are thinking. They know they have a responsibility. They're living today, of course, but they're aware of the past. They know the inheritance. They know the heritage. They know the responsibility they have for the land. And they're thinking of the past, but they're not dwelling in the past. There you are, you're in the present, and they want to get married or whatever it is, and they bring up children and all the rest of it. But they're thinking of the future. What happens to this land? Isn't that a wonderful thing? I find it a stark contrast to many believers today. Seems to me, I might be wrong, but it seems to me that most believers, many believers that I meet, seem to think it's all today. They have no awareness of the past. They don't know the history or inheritance. Now, I'm an Englishman. As an Englishman, I can look back upon hundreds of years of gospel testimony and witness. Tremendous names. William Tyndale, the Puritans, John Hooper, you know, and so on and on and on and on it goes. The heritage of the past is enormous. Now, some believers are tied to the past. They can't break out from it. They can't preach without the confessions. They can't think without the confessions. They can't say anything on the Bible without the 1689 or the Westminster Confession of Faith. They're locked in the past. However good or bad it might be in that, but they're just locked in it. It's not scripture for them. It's the past, tradition. We've always done it that way. They're living in the past. But we must live in today, but we must bear in mind tomorrow. There's no awareness today in many believers of tomorrow. What do I mean? Things are brought into the church because they seem a good idea today. But nobody seems to, sweeping there. In many cases, very few people are saying, but what's the consequence of this? I mean, what's the scripture for it? But what will the consequences be? Now, these people in Israel are not flippant. They're not, oh, leave it to God, he'll sort it out in due time. They're not careless. They're not drifting on. They're not just living for today. They're thinking of the future. And the land is all important to them. And the tribal inheritance is all important to them. I know it's all old covenant, but the principle comes over into the new, surely. Small decisions today have long and lasting effect in the future. You see, there was church life before today, my friend. And many of the things being brought up today as novelties are not novelties at all. They're the old errors and old mistakes made in new form, in new dresses, new frocks. But it's the same old error, same old mistake. And of course, we live in the consequences of things done. Just give you one example. In the first or second centuries after the apostles, what happened? The fathers came along, and what did they do? They went back to the old covenant, and what did? They took the old covenant and laid it upon the church. And the consequences of that are with us today. Hierarchy in the church, sacraments, sacerdotalism, priestcraft, clergy, pastor this, reverend this, bishop that, pope that. It's all come from the fathers, Christendom. And we're reaping a dreadful harvest, and we have done so for 1,800 years. Small decision? No. Tremendous decision with long-lasting effect. Now, Zelophehad's daughters here, this shows us the concern, and praise God that these people were thinking about it. Oh, that brother and sister, we might be thinking about it. Oh, unbeliever, are you thinking? Are you thinking? You won't live forever, you know, in this life. It won't just go on unchanged. Men around you are all falling. You'll fall one day. Then you'll have to appear before God. Are you thinking about it? Prepare to meet your God. Well, these people, the people of Israel at this time, the tribe of Manasseh here, these people, this half-tribe, they're thinking about it. Praise God for that. May we learn from them. For Christ's sake, amen.